You got people are fighting over your corpse, honestly. Yeah.
It's so funny because, like, the likelihood of me going to prison or even jail is basically zero. Like, I won't have any jail time. I won't have any prison time.
I mean, me too, but I'm still kind of worried about it. Like, it's that basically zero that makes me uncomfortable, Nick.
Yes, it's uncomfortable, but, like, you know, intellectually, you know something, even though you go, holy shit, like, this is pretty serious, I guess.
Yeah.
A bunch of people are really mad, and I can't figure out why.
Oh, they really are. They really are.
That's the thing that gets me, the people, like you said, dragging my corpse around the internet. And there are, and of course, they go to the mantra, right? Like, they're like an 80s soccer mom. Like, oh, it's about the children. I'm like, none of you even know my kids' names. Well, like, you don't care about my kids.
They're
just
also
the
ones abusing your children. Like, that's the worst. The worst part about that. It's like the cuties thing. And it's like, yeah, but these poor girls, everyone's going to call them whores for the rest of their lives. Like, no, you guys are going to call them whores for the rest of their life. You guys are the ones abusing Nick's kids. They're fine. CPS said they're fine. It's you guys won't leave them alone.
I know. It's wild because
it's
like,
all these looters and polluters.
Despite reports of people who don't know, like our kids don't have any concept of any of the stuff people are saying. Like they just are going on with their lives. They're happy to be home. You know, they understand some level of why they were taken out of our house for a little bit, but they didn't get it at a real level because they're like, but our parents don't harm us and we're not in danger. And they told the county without any of our help. They're like, we've never seen any of this stuff. Like
thank you for showing it to me for the first time.
Yeah. Everyone's a goddamn DARE officer now. Jesus.
Exactly. We homeschooled our kids. Our kids have never been to DARE. They have no idea. I actually, ironically, shortly before I got arrested, my oldest son, I was driving him to school or whatever, and he made a joke about cocaine. I'm like, do you even know what that is? He's like, no. I'm like, so you don't understand why this joke is funny.
Yeah. What was the joke?
Did you enlighten him at least?
I don't remember, but I had to tell him. I'm like, okay, so cocaine is a powder that people typically inhale through their nose. And that, with that context, the joke made sense. But, but until then, he had no idea. And so I'm like explaining to I'm like, yeah. And then I was talking to him like, oh yeah, you've never been to DARE. Your mom and I, we went to public schools or whatever, so we went through the DARE program.
And that's where we learned about drugs for the first time.
I touched a vial of heroin in fucking second grade.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, we only get to see this once? This stuff must be really cool.
Yeah.
It's in a special briefcase?
Wow, this is a joint? And now I'm like, I could roll that. Fuck, that was the worst joint I've ever seen rolled in my goddamn life.
And they're like, okay, you guys have to understand, all these things we're about to show you will kill you horrendously. But they're so awesome that everybody knows that they'll kill you.
Yeah, and they still do.
But don't do them because that would be horrible. And you're sitting there going, wait, so they're so awesome that everyone on Earth will risk death to the point that their bodies will crave it uncontrollably. But we shouldn't do it because why? Like, why? And you're like, because it's bad. There's a law that says so. And you're like, oh, okay. Because you're a kid, you listen. But, like, our kids never had to listen to any of that. They don't know what drugs look like. They've never seen them. They've never been around them. And it's funny because people are like, I just care about Nick's kids. I'm like, you don't even know what my kids
do. No, you don't. No one cares about Nick's fucking kids. Are you Then send them $20.
Yeah.
Put up a QR code so they can donate to the I Care About Nick's Kids fund.
That's
none of these motherfuckers give a fuck about anyone's kids.
That's what I'm saying.
The fuck out of here.
Everyone's so full of words, man.
Yeah.
I don't care about their kids. Like, I don't know their kids' names. We weren't that close. And everybody's like, oh, I was Nick's friend, blah, blah. Like, you clearly weren't. You don't know anything. Like, you don't know anything about me.
They kind of hate you for everything. Like, I saw the some of your lawyer friends talking about or joking. They were joking about how you didn't pay them any money from the Rittenhouse trial but it didn't seem like they were joking. Like, there's this crazy.
They were joking. They're so jealous, and it's like, do you guys not remember all of your channels were at 10,000 subscribers back then? Now you got 100,000 subscribers, and you're like, well, why didn't I get any money? It's like, because you weren't important. You were just someone for me to talk to for 8 hours, which is awesome. Thank you for joining me. Yeah. And you got calculated out one time. I was like, okay, at my ad rate, what would it cost to buy on to an 8-hour live stream with 100,000 people watching, like the last days of Rittenhouse?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been $50,000 for them to buy on to 8 hours of show if I charged them what I would charge any other advertiser for a minute. I'm like, I gave you 50 grand. Your channel's exploded. These guys have six-figure incomes because I said, all right, yeah, I'll bring you on. And
this is the most lawyerist like bickering that you're ever going to hear.
My eyes are fucking rolling back in my head. This is so goddamn like, oh, God.
I'm doing it now.
Jesus Christ.
I never thought of it that way until people started bitching about it. And I'm like, wait, you wanted a cut? You got a cut. You had no audience. And then you came onto my show and a whole bunch of people started watching you because they got exposed to you. You never would have had that opportunity otherwise. And then some of them took the reins and have built their own brand out of it. And some of them are like Uncivil Law. They're fat, they're autistic, they're not entertaining. And so, like, you couldn't hold your audience. And then he's like, well, I didn't see any of that money. It's like, well, that's your fucking fault, you weirdo. It's not my fault. I gave you the opportunity. I handed you the keys to the Porsche. The fact that you drove it into a swimming pool at a fucking Days Inn is not my fault.
Hedonism, too.
Jesus.
Don't you dare put a car in my pool of hedonism.
Are you keeping a list of all the people that have wronged you? I would be.
Yeah, do you have a stalkers and losers Dropbox?
No. See, the cool thing about how I operate is I'm so bad at keeping contact with people, like even people that I like, that if people don't like me anymore, like they don't text me and I just don't care. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been really busy for the past decade of my life. But I mean, no, I mean, like, I'm occupied, so I get distracted. I have ADHD, and if I don't consciously make an effort to reach out to someone and they don't reach out to me, I lose touch with them really quick, and, like, I feel bad about it, except I've learned to not, because none of these people were ever pissed that I wasn't in contact with them. They're just performatively pissed about something that had nothing to do with any of them. And I've heard some of them be like, oh my God, we did whatever for you. It's like, no, you did. I didn't ask you to defend me. I didn't ask you to, like, say anything about the situation at all. I've never asked anybody to own my shit. Like, it's my shit's mine.
Yeah.
If you want to stick up for me, great, cool. If they don't, I don't care. I never asked anyone to. I don't want anyone to stick their neck out for me. That's why I said, I'm not in LawTube. These groups are gay. They always turn into exactly what happened. It's just they pulled me in and made me LawTube by proxy because I've been hamstrung on talking.
Yeah. So you had your plea hearing? I don't know what they call it. The plea hearing?
I had a settlement conference.
Oh, okay.
And so a settlement conference, like, nothing happens in the courtroom.
Yeah.
The prosecution, the defense, to come to the courthouse and try and reach an agreement.
Okay.
We didn't reach an agreement, but we're really damn close.
You're really close.
And my that's why we scheduled another one. My next conference is on the 17th. Most likely we'll have a deal worked out at that point.
Okay.
I mean, you never want to say anything, and I don't want to say, like, what it is. But long story short, it's really, really favorable. It's really reasonable. And this is the thing that's pissed me off about this whole situation. If I could comment on my own case, it would be a great object lesson in where the difference between the book application of the law meets the practical application of the law.
Right.
Because there's a whole bunch of legal issues that are unresolved on my side and on the prosecution side that would be beneficial for either of us. Like, I have a bunch of evidentiary issues that I could hammer them with. That would cost a fortune and be a bunch of work on both sides. And it could be enough to honestly just flat out win my case. But it also could not. It's a roll of the dice. So instead, you get down to this thing and people are like, well, why didn't you do this, this, this? Like, well, you don't just go to the prosecution and say, well, this didn't happen. And then go, oh, so, our bad. Sorry. Yeah. Like, you have to do it through the court procedure. So rather than do that, the practical application is, well, let's figure out how to make a deal that works where you recognize that there's punishment for whatever you did.
It sounds like buying a used car. Like, at some point, it stops sounding like justice at all. Yeah. And it just sounds like, hey, what can we do to make you have to be embarrassed?
The easiest way out of this.
Like, wait a minute. Okay. What are we doing here? What is the purpose of this fiasco?
For a used car.
If you're looking for justice, I want you to forget everything else.
Yeah.
And realize
looking for big
that when we were talking, when people wanted to film my pretrial motions, right? Which is against the rules unless a judge permits it. And we said, you know what? We don't see the proper case for a special exception to the rules. So just apply the rule, no filming allowed of the pretrial stuff.
Uh-huh.
The prosecution did not object to our position. Our position said, look, we
might. Uh-oh.
We lost
a child endangerment charge and all this stuff.
Right.
The prosecution wrote a really interesting letter to the court. And that letter said, there are no victims in this crime. And we expect no children to be required to testify, which is the prosecution saying, not only are there no victims, but that the children are also not victims because they charged me with child endangerment, but they found in the family law case, there wasn't any endangerment.
It's just the about the goddamn
were
cocaine.
Never in danger.
God damn
it. Yeah. The kids, what they found when they interviewed our children and observed them, they found that all of our children are brilliant, and they are, and they're creative, and they have a life which we have built for them, which allows them to explore whatever hobbies or passions that they have. Like, we're very fortunate to be able to do that. Like, that's that's great. And then they also found that the kids have an exceptionally strong bond with us, and that the best thing for them was to be reunited with us. All they needed to do was make sure there weren't going to be intoxicants around the children. Once they were convinced there weren't going to be any illegal substances around the kids, they were back in our home. They've been back in our home since August. Entirely. We had some supervised stuff before then, but it was all they wanted was we had to display 60 days of sobriety through tests. And the first test that we had that showed sobriety was, I think for me, was like, because I wasn't restricted from alcohol and they didn't tell me don't drink. So my last drink was on June 5th. But my first clean test then, clean of alcohol, was June 14th.
I don't think I love my kid that much.
And
well, if I just quit alcohol, I'd die. Yeah.
I'd shrivel up.
Yeah. No, the withdrawal
would get
me.
Like,
yeah.
It sounds really tough, but if the alternative is like your life is fucked forever and they take your children away, like you just don't, you go, okay, well, I just can't drink. Okay.
Oh, God.
It's not that big of a deal. It sucks from time to time, but you get over it real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
So my last drink was on June 5th. My first clean test was on June 14th. So what they needed was 60 days of completely abstinent testing from that June 14th. And once we had that, kids were back in our home with us.
Yeah.
And that's where they wanted to be. They just needed to make sure that, like, look, they made me go to a recovery program, not rehab, but an outpatient recovery. And I'm in there with a bunch of meth addicts. And, like, they were... nice enough guys or whatever, but these guys can't go to a grocery store without buying meth. And I'm sitting there going, I'm like,
what grocery stores are those?
I'm like, these guys are of such a different category of addiction than, like, I'm like, I like to party.
Yeah.
But I don't need meth to survive. These guys need meth to get through a day. And you're like, holy shit. And so you go through and you're like, this is not having drugs or alcohol around is easy. Most people do it all the time.
Like, yeah.
Most people don't have drugs in their house, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and so people are like, oh, can you do that? It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, you're doing it now. I think I can manage.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's just, I like to do some things. I like to party and have a good time. That's the extent of it. But if you have to give that up or they take your kids, you just give that up. Like, it's fine.
People just don't like that.
There's other shit to do in the world.
Party you like to have a good time? Yeah. How dare really, you?
That's really it.
What an asshole.
That is the frustrating really part, though. So, but yeah.
I mean, you're up against guys who just don't do anything. Like the people, a lot of the people who hate you do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess not. Oh, I mean, it came out, see that it came out that the Kino Casino went to Vegas and had like an orgy together with one of their donors where they're fucking black hookers. PPP's jacking off in the corner. And the guy who paid them to do it was like posting a weird shit about his kid on some Shotokan forum. It's like, bro, this is really degenerate what you guys are doing here.
So much has happened in the 10 years since I've been
of
on.
Of course it is. Like, this is the thing. Like, everyone knows this. Money and opportunity eliminate moral boundaries. Like they redefine how you view life. Like it's not a good thing or bad thing. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
You can't do these things when you work a 9-to-5 job. If you're Andy Worski and PPP and you get paid tens of thousands of dollars a month to sit around like dunking on people, like the people that are watching this show, like, they realize that Andy and PPP are dunking on them by proxy.
Yeah.
But they're like, but I still love this stuff. Like,
yeah, of course.
Nobody doesn't like I won't say hooker. Like, who cares about hookers? But, like, the symptom of a hooker is you want the attention and the ego inflation. It's like someone's focused on this person for a little bit of time. That's why people hire a hooker or go to a strip club.
Mm.
Someone focuses on them and lies to them and makes them feel good. Everybody on earth wants that. You just don't have the money and opportunity to do it. And so, like, they get mad, but of course they're doing the same fucking things, even if they're not doing it on their phone. Like, they're in real life, they're doing it on their phone or in their head.
Well, your shit is it's so complicated, and it's so shockingly different from what a lot of people, I guess, perceived you as or wanted to perceive you as. Like, they wanted you to be this wholesome internet dad for them, and which, like, I mean, you
all
are.
I ever claimed to be.
Yeah.
And on one hand, I am a wholesome dad. Like, I'm a wholesome dad to my kids. It's grand. Yeah. Like, I love them. I have a great relationship with them. I try to teach them to be better people than me forever. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to turn out as adults, but, like, that's just how you do life. And, but I never said, I never took the role of, like, trad Catholic dad. People went, oh, he homeschools 5 children. He's been a long-term marriage with one woman. He must, and he's a Christian. He must be this. It's like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. But, like, Christians and Jews forever, just read the Bible, have also liked partying. And everybody likes to feel, like, good and desired and wanted. Like, anyone who denies that is a fucking liar. Like, stop. Stop. Someone who's attractive looks at you and smiles. Like, you smile back. You don't have to go have sex with them. It's okay. But you, like, you smile
someone's
back.
You
and
eat
you
their
feel,
cum. Someone smiles at you. Just sharing some hot cum over.
Oh. Fuck.
Look, I only know one person who does that. But it's like, no, and then, so then they... But then they, like you said, my situation is very, very complex. And it involves a whole bunch of stuff that no one has any business.
It's because it's
like
everything. It's all the degenerate stuff all together, except for maybe sports gambling. Ralph still got you beat on that, but it's all the degenerate. It's all the harmless degenerate stuff together, which is why it makes it so interesting. I think.
This is the thing, the only victim of anything I did is me. And like, I know, I'm such a victim. No, but it's like, well, sometimes you look in the mirror and you go, well, that was fucking stupid, that's right? Stupid. Like, yeah, dumbass.
Well, if it isn't me.
Well, we meet again, me. I really fucked that
here
one
we
up,
are.
Didn't we?
Once again.
Yeah. Hey, man, you like.
I mean, I do
want to
see. I do want to see the revenge. I do want to see the revenge arc because all these fuckers, all of these fuckers are they're all guilty and they all turned on you instantaneously, and they're all still because of their instant villain heel turn. They're all still kind of slow rolling this, like, well, you know, there's kids involved, like, the kids involved is doing a lot of work.
They
in this
all
instance,
should
even though
enjoy
they all got
prison,
fucking
yeah.
handles of vodka in the house, they're all taking part of exactly the same degenerate shit that they're all soapboxing about.
Did you see the PPP thing where he's like explaining away doing, I mean, way worse shit than I did, which is funny. Go ahead. I don't care. Like, you have your hooker orgy in Vegas. I don't want to be there. He's the fucking
with other
planet.
Men.
He's a planet in the shape of yogurt, man. I don't want to see that. But
they
like,
were driving him around in a pickup, they were saying.
Like
a
Pope
mobile? Pickup truck.
In the,
yeah,
in
like
the
a
bag?
Pope
in
mobile.
The back?
The PPP mobile. There's like a mosquito
in
the
man.
Netting in the back of a Toyota. Tacoma.
Fucking, look, yeah. I'm sure 5'4", 112-pound Andy Worski could help lift PPP into something. But like, can
scoop
you imagine sitting in the corner watching Andy Worski with a black hooker and jerking off? That's the most pathetic thing I've ever.
Worski was using one of their other fans to have. He was moving the other fan on the hooker, like he was pushing his hips. Into the hooker.
What
yeah.
the fuck is I leave? I leave your life for 10 years, and this is what I come back to.
I don't know.
Oh my god!
And it's like, but his excuse on Twitter is like, "Well, we don't have kids." It's like,
hey man, it is all about the kids, man.
Yeah, it's really about the kids.
It's really about the. It's time and time again. It's all about
to get out of jail free card. Look, if you don't have if you don't have children,
doesn't
not
matter.
If they're around or not, if you don't have children,
doesn't
you
matter.
Can just. You could just ass inhale a fucking pile of cocaine and blow it out through your mouth into a hooker's anus so that they can get some too. And that's all fine. There's no moral quandary here. It's like, well, I don't have children. It's like, oh my God, the cope from this is amazing. But hey, it is what it is. I, you know, like shit happened. Here I am. Everybody's like, oh, Nick won't take accountability for anything. It's like, you guys.
Yeah, but you can't.
I would love to talk.
I mean, that's the first thing I said on the fucking show. You can't take accountability.
Number one.
That's called going to prison, idiots.
I got to wait until my case is over, and then I can talk about my side of the story.
Yeah.
And, like, the prosecution knows this.
Can you please just never say I talk about the news and I talk about my life and the news happens to be my life? Just promise me you'll never say that phrase when you come back.
Oh,
holy shit. I don't. I have some choice things to say in very specific ways about my situation, but I don't. That's been my problem. Right now, all I think about is the shit that I'm in, and it makes it hard for me to focus on anything else. But I don't want to go on.
You're breaking
my
up.
Own thing.
What'd
and
you say?
All
he doesn't want a phone that
works. I like to get online and hate people about something else.
Say it again. You're robot-y.
Get
your
robot out of here.
Pressing situation. God
okay,
damn it!
Say it again. Say the whole
fuck
thing
you.
Again.
Maybe if you drove straight into a tree, it might help.
I said I don't want to get online and just talk about my depressing situation, which is why I haven't been online.
Yeah.
I need to have it resolved so I can focus on anything else in the world. But I do have some stuff to say because a bunch of shit that should have never been in the public got put into the public, but not by me.
Right.
And like, people are like, why'd you put your life into the public eye? I'm like, I didn't. That's what you're actually mad about. I didn't. Yeah. People call that lying. It's like, I didn't lie to you. I didn't talk to you about this shit. It wasn't your business.
Liars.
And it
and
never
liars.
Was supposed to be.
Yeah. It is.
Looters and polluters.
But now, like, you know, the situation's here. And the really unfortunate thing is there's a real, like, from a storytelling perspective, there's a really good story in there that'll never get told with real people, real drama, and all that shit. And people
what about
have cheapened
the relationship
it.
Stuff, about the swinging and what
Here's
have you?
A story that'll never get told.
That story?
Just about, just, no, it goes well before any of that shit. Okay. It goes into just life and how,
Is our head
how
butts
life
involved?
Develops in. Yes. Of course. What you know why he has to headbutt women, right?
Why?
Have you ever seen his weak-ass arms?
Yeah, I have. I was hoping
That's
Ralph
why.
Would fight him. That would be funny.
Ralph fighting anybody is always funny.
Yeah.
He's so weird because he's like, he pulls this internet tough guy thing and challenges everyone to a fight. It's like, dude, you don't have a, like, your fighting record is 0-2. And they're like, everybody watched you get your ass just... Candid, why do you have this internet tough guy thing? No one's challenging you to a fight. No one's saying anything about it. But, like, you're an
Man,
embarrassing specimen if we're talking
guy.
About fighting.
He's like, Imhult is like the Waluigi of podcasting. Like, there's...
Yeah, but people want Waluigi still as a thing.
I don't think they do. Well, so, but what, either way, if they do, he's like the original broadcasters were, like, straight up the road. And then you had, like, guys like Howard Stern, like the shock jock guys. And he's, like, this weird reflection of that, which is not, it has no identity beyond I'm doing like a performance of what I think radio is. It's so bizarre.
Right.
I get the most uncomfortable feeling every time I watch Imhold's streams.
Everyone trying to revive a dead format should also be dead.
Yeah.
There's two things to understand. One, like he's married to this radio format, and it's true. It's straight to the bone. When I was hanging around him all the time, all he talked about was radio guys. Oh, I'm an old school radio guy. It's like, why? Why would you want to be an old school radio guy? Like,
stay in the past with
that's
him,
gone.
Man.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, if that's what you like, fine. I don't care, but all right. The other thing you have to realize about him, and this is critical. You learn this when you spend time with him.
Uh-huh.
And when you have been through experiences and then you listen to him recount them. He lives in this moment and no other moment, past, present, or future, exists. And everything that he has experienced in life or believes about the future will bend towards serving right now and where he is. And I don't think he's conscious of it.
What do you mean? What do you mean bending?
Like
what do you mean right now? Like this? Like
is he bending it like Beckham?
Okay,
what's going on here?
There are stories he has told where he's like the hero of some situation that involved me or whatever, and he's literally when he puts himself in the protagonist position, he's describing something either that I did or Kayla did or April did.
Oh yeah.
But he rewrote himself as the one who did it.
Yeah.
Because.
Cartman.
That serves this narrative at this time. But then what you'll do
somebody
is
who does
if you
that.
Listen.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? Like, I do too. I know someone who used to do that. I'm related to them. I'm very close. It's a close relative. And that's how I'm like really able to identify it in him. I was like, holy shit, this is the same thing. Their brain just changes out facts of any story. And I legit think they believe 100% what they're saying. And you're like,
yeah,
but bro, I was there. That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
And it's not even like, it's not like the alternate telling makes me look good and I'm trying to correct the record. I'm just like, that's not what happened at all. Like, that wasn't it. That's really weird. And like he has these stories, like anything he's ever said online where he goes, oh, like, Nick's just like a little guy and like physically, like it'd be a shame to fight him. The only thing he ever said to me in person about anything like that was after like an argument that we had, he said, dude, when I looked into your eyes, I was fucking terrified of you. That's what he said to me.
What is he looking into your eyes? He's like,
you know, he's fucking... honestly, it's the weirdest feeling. Even talking about him is like, I find even shitting on him to be unsatisfying because the things he's reveling in is like eating your cum.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's, so even shitting
on him. I almost
had
to mute your mic, Nick, just while you were tired. I'm like, I don't want to hear about that.
Like with Matt, Maddox will never, like, he will never give an inch. He was always fighting. He's
Mr.
always.
Mr. Principles, yeah.
Mr. Principles. But Aaron Imhold is like so spongy and non-existent.
Mr.
Like the
no
Waluigi's,
yeah.
Mr. It's like there's nothing there. So even shitting on him is totally unsatisfying to me because I don't think it has any impact at all. It's just like,
he was
like air. You
the
know?
Other day, he's sitting there.
Do you know what I'm
covering?
You know
some
what I mean,
story.
Though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and so the other day, he was covering some story about some OnlyFans chick complaining about some other OnlyFans chick.
Yeah.
Right? And he's just sitting there. And he's like, oh, you just sit there and take it up the ass for money. You think you could complain about someone else taking it up the ass for money? And all I can think is, like, bro, you have watched. And I know this, a bunch of women online take it up the ass for money. Like, how can you sit there and dump on this one? You engage in consuming this product.
Yeah.
Why are you performatively being opposed to it right now?
Yeah. Like, polluters, man.
And it didn't, yeah. It didn't, he has no concept of like self-actualization or realization or application. It's like, dude, if you applied a modicum of what you say, you would be so self-loathing. And maybe he is. I don't know. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him since April, man. Like, I don't know if he's
a loaded
in
statement,
shape.
But, yeah.
Just being...
yeah, I don't. I hope. I mean, I don't know. What are you gonna do when you come back? You gotta. What's the comeback gonna look like?
I don't
like
know.
For you?
It's weird. There's so many different ways to go about it. I mean, the main thing. I can't make the comeback about me because it's
wait
it's
say that again
mostly been
say
run
that
its
again.
Course. I can't make it about me and my situation. Like
no.
As much as I want to really talk about it, but that's mostly run its course. It's a tired subject. I'm biased, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And like at the end of the day, the legal results are going to be what they're going to be, and then that's all I'm waiting for. Is like, give me a moment to move on.
Yeah.
I want to come back and do a good show. I'm not going to have liquor on my show for the foreseeable future. One, I may be banned from drinking it for several years. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Man.
But here's the thing. I really
they can
cared
do that?
About it. Yes. It's in Minnesota, the standard response to any substance crime is that any probation or anything like that will require a ban of not only the substance, but all non-prescribed substances, including alcohol.
Wow.
Which I think is I think that's insane. I think that probably kills people.
Yeah.
Or drives them to really bad stuff. But look, I cared about that a lot a couple weeks ago, but I threw a couple bottles of whiskey. Again, I'm not on any restrictions.
Yeah.
And like, it's not the same. I don't really, maybe it's my body just trying to like, say, hey, you're not going to be able to have this. So don't like it. I don't know. But I cared. And now I don't fucking care that much. Like if I have to be restricted from alcohol, the only thing I don't like, and this is a lesson for everybody on legality, it doesn't matter what you're going to do or not do. What matters is how much risk exposure you have. And if you are faced with the potential of a positive test on something means that you go to prison when you otherwise wouldn't, eliminate all the some things that you can.
Yeah.
Because those tests are not accurate. People assume that drug testing is like this really good science.
Yeah.
The only really decent science around it is urinalysis, which can basically test if you've done drugs in the past 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is a fucking mess when you start reading about it. It's uncertain, and there's no like counter to it. There's no proof of concept. If there's a test that says you used something and you go, but I didn't, that's all you have. There is no like counter test you can do, especially because of timelines. Like if you do your urinalysis test or a blood test, the results don't come back for like 6 to 8 days.
Yeah.
You can do instant tests, but county governments don't pay for that because it costs too
what
much.
What a fucking so retarded they, mess this is. It's a waste of time.
If something comes back though and says that, oh, you drank, and you're like, I didn't. Maybe there was vermouth in my cream sauce on my pasta or something. And you try and prove it though, but you're now 7 days away from that test, and whatever incidental alcohol you may have come into contact with, that's gone. Like, and there's no way to prove that it wasn't there. There's nothing you can do. And they can't even prove that it was there. They can just prove something happened and there was some contact for the purposes of the test, and mm-hmm. how they test will change what that means. But everybody assumes that the science around this is good. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, it's good because they're always arresting like drug users. So they got a really amazing, you know, it's like an excuse to profile people. Like, get this guy, drug test this guy. He's obviously fucked up. Nailed it.
Here's the crazy thing. If you hair follicle test every child in America, 1 in 5 of them will test positive for a controlled substance.
Yeah.
There's no way that 20% of children in America are doing a controlled substance. Yeah. That's not
probably
happening.
Probably like 19.
And, yeah. Well, at least 30, I was going to say, yeah.
But yet, that is just a fact. And it doesn't matter what the socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It crosses all boundaries. What that tells you is that those tests have an error rate somewhere in the neighborhood of 15%.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy thought when you go, oh, 1 in 7 tests that I take puts me in prison or takes my kids away. Oh. And there's nothing on earth you can do to counter that test. Because what the government will say is, well, I have the test. And you'll go, but the test is wrong. And they'll go, well, how do you know? You go, because I didn't do the thing. And they'll just go, but I have the test.
They got to test the test takers. Mm-hmm. You know, like every time you guys do a test, you take a test. And then we'll see.
If you test drug cops, if you hair follicle test drug cops, what you will find is every one of them looks like a horrendously chronic user of every controlled substance.
Yeah.
Because they are the crazy.
Same thing with the testers. If you're in an environment where you have the possibility of exposure to either a substance or someone on a substance, you will eventually test positive whether you've ever used a substance or not. Mm. Because the tests aren't good at measuring that. They measure other shit. They measure exposure. And exposure happens whether you're taking drugs or not.
Well, I eagerly await when this shit is over, man. This is like a year-long pause of your life. It's fucking over what
it's
turned
brutal.
Out to be total, not, like, nothing.
That's the worst. That's the thing that's done the most, like, damage to me from a mental health perspective and from a physical health perspective is that, the government's pause of my life and also, like, trying to convince the entire earth that I'm something that I'm not, which is like a child abuser or whatever. Like, and here's the crazy thing. They know the county, like you said, that they wrote that letter. They know that none of that shit happened.
Yeah.
They'll never write a letter that says it doesn't.
Oh yeah.
What they're going to do is they're going to drop the charges of child endangerment. They never could support them. There were no facts for it at all. So they know that none of that shit happened, but it was convenient for them to have that shit go into the public to put pressure on me and leverage my situation. And like, that's just the game of law versus the reality of it. And that's, unfortunately, that's the fucking ropes. There's nothing you can do about it, but they know we've read all the reports. I have all the reports. The only thing they ever found was an exceptionally strong bond between the kids and their parents. No adverse health conditions for any of them. They have 5 kids who are so mentally, they're so above average that it's embarrassing. And then physically, they're all above average height, above average weight. They're well nourished. They have no health effects of any kind.
Man.
And that was their ultimate problem, is they go, holy fuck, how do we deal with this?
How do we hit them for something when they're all fine, when all the kids are fine, better than normal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, if you take
a moment and I put myself in the shoes of the county worker, they don't know me. They don't know those kids. So they get these crazy reports from insane people like Aaron, who flat out fucking lied to them in the interview, which, again, they hand me all these recordings. I know everything that was said. But they get someone who lies to them.
Are you going to go through those? You have all the recordings? Can you go through them?
Yes, I can.
Well, it sounds like we have the comeback.
Yeah. So how much ratting out happened?
But here's the thing. Like, okay, so they get this narrative painted to them, but they don't know any of the players in this game, right? Like, uh-huh. They don't know Aaron. They don't know me. They don't know anybody. All they have to do, they go, okay, our job is to make sure these kids are safe. I'm hearing this person's like a crazy manipulative cult leader who runs a sex den in front of his kids at the breakfast table. And they have to believe that at first because somewhere that happens, I guess. But as they went through, you know, as they went through and observed us with the kids and talked to the kids and stuff, you know, what they found is like, oh, look, loving parents, loving kids. None of this shit has been like, if we had not been arrested and the county hadn't said anything to our kids, they would never know anything about drugs. They've never even seen us intoxicated on anything, including alcohol. Because we don't get drunk around our kids. You're taking care of them. People make a big deal out of it. It's like, guys, I drank between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. after my kids went to bed. Mm-hmm. Very specifically set up so that I would not be having to like drive them or provide care for them. And when I would drink on my show, there's another adult in the house who's sober just in case something happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, but people, you know, like that all gets overlooked. It's like, oh,
they're not, honestly, they don't care. They already made their mind up. They don't care about any of this shit.
They're too busy caring about your kids, man. They don't care about you.
Yeah, they're too busy caring about those kids.
Exactly.
And you can, as much as, and no amount of care is too much.
Yep.
When you're talking about someone else's kids.
Mm-hmm.
For the kids, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, I look forward to it, man.
I gotta run.
Yeah.
I gotta run. Yeah, it's gonna be soon. Things are wrapping up in the next, predictable future. I'm looking forward to that because I got to get back to work. I want to get back to talking about stuff and telling stories to people because that's what I like doing. Like, I don't really care about anything. I just like people hearing something and then telling me something that I don't know.
Yeah.
And the internet's a great place to do that. And everybody started being so fucking serious. It's like, guys, calm down.
Well, everybody just wants to feel entertained. So if you can come back and, you know, hit hard and do, you know, stuff that they like, then they don't care anymore. Yeah. That's it. It's just that you can't
just complain funnier.
And like the people who can never listen to me again, cool. There's 7 billion other people on Earth. That's fine. I never asked you to stay. Like, I don't get, they're like, I'm never listening again. It's like, well, I didn't ask you to listen. I don't know you. So bye. I hope you had a good time.
Well,
but anyway,
they'll be back.
Well, I'm really looking forward to your good news. I think it's going to be the funniest,
thanks.
Plot arc that I never saw coming.
Thanks. And maybe you'll be at Free Riley Fest.
I'm planning on it.
Oh, you're planning on it. Okay.
Unless something prevents me from being there, obviously, like, there's a bunch of shit that could happen, but my plan is to be there, so.
Yeah, okay.
In whatever capacity I can.
Okay, good luck.
All right.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks for letting me call in
and
dominate by over-talking, but I gotta get going.
See you, Nick.
See ya.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Peace, guys.
Oh, man.